Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the One Cell, One Light radio show with your host, Dr. Hildegard Stanninger, commonly known as Dr. Hildy, and my special guest and returning guest, Ms. Shoshana Allison. Today's topic is based around a professional paper that I submitted for publication, and also with a colleague of mine, Dr. Daniel Ferrier, who's an MD, and has evaluated some of my clients and patients here over the years, but what the whole situation with glutathione is, it's a very important enzyme composed of amino acids. It's a conglomerate. It's got enzyme in it and activation by enzymes, and we're going to go over that. But its role is very important in the biotransformation of toxicants. In other words, toxicants are chemicals that are created, could be from mold, bacteria, chemicals, industrial solvents, metals, nanoparticulates, or any of these items,
These are things that don't belong in the body, that come from the environment or our food or whatever, right?
Right, right.
It's those things that when they say should we detox? Yes, we should. Correct.
Right. And the mechanism of glutathione is that it is primarily used in generality forms. It's used to protect the body and regulate it by neutralizing these toxins into less toxic compounds so that the body can get rid of them naturally through either urination, sweating, fecal elimination, throwing up, whatever it may be, okay? The thing is, though, glutathione is very important because it's a universal detoxifier, neutralizer of these toxins, just as the importance of the amino acid taurine, because taurine, if you ever have the symptoms of night blindness or photosensitivity, you are lacking the amino acid taurine. Taurine helps neutralize a lot of chemicals that could be in the body that are not supposed to be there. Glutathione, though, is in high abundance within our lungs, our heart, our reproductive organs, our skin. It's like super saturated throughout our whole body because it's working in tandem with our body. It is used to protect, and we're going to go through these mechanisms, not as being the paper scientific, so you can read the paper and have the diagrams there. And please do read it because you're going to glean a lot of information. Right, Sho?
Yes, you got to go to the WordPress page to find the paper. Go to the WordPress link there on Blog Talk, or go to One Cell, One Light Radio Facebook page, or From the Desk of Dr. Hildy Facebook page, or my Facebook page, or Dr. Hildegard Stanninger Facebook page.
We got a lot of Facebooks.
Yeah, well, okay. This is important today. People need to know that there are Facebook pages all over the place. They can come and like us and then get notices when things are happening. Go ahead.
Right. And thank you, Sho. And why it's important, audience, is because it doesn't matter if you get exposed to a piece of wood and it's a splinter in your finger and you get an infection or not, or exposed to an industrial solvent, or like the people who, after Hurricane Andrew, just as what happened in Katrina, the mold and the mycotoxins, certain bioethnic races are at greater risk because of generational exposure to molds and their mycotoxins, okay? But they're all used the glutathione. And glutathione is like, it's they term it as part of antioxidant because it has multiple mechanisms that it releases for. And these are the examples that it helps at expression. Gene expression, meaning protecting your genes, detoxification, free radical neutralization. Glutathione hates to interact with peroxides that form that can create the free radical superoxide so that it can initiate cancers or anything like that. Immune function, blood sugar balance, cytokine production, which is a stimulation response producing cytokines in the body that trigger the CD cells, which are a form of eosinophils, white blood cells that go and attack for inflammation. The thing is, I've always said on the show, and you've heard me many times, Shoshana and audience, if you're drooling on your pillow, you could be producing too much cytokines. What does that mean? You're losing your glutathione, so you need some to protect you. This also prostaglandin regulation, which is for inflammation. Many of this happens in some of the endocrine system diseases, thyroids, gland, sebaceous cyst, any of these, if they're out of balance. Protein synthesis, how do we make muscle on our body and good skin without wasting away? Again, a repeat gene expression as being that it not only goes in and helps in neutralizing the toxins on the outside of the cell, but also on the inside of the cell, and also it's like food for cell growth, okay? And the thing is, with any of it, you should understand the basic mechanism before we get into it. Glutathione is used, it comes out in the body to neutralize the toxin into a less toxic compound. If it cannot, in which we call that a metabolite, and if the metabolite has a name, then it's assigned a name, but it can also create what they term xenobiotics, which are chemicals that are formed in the living system, meaning the human or the bacteria, as a result of this reaction.
And those I was interested to find out that those are chemicals that are not indigenous to our bodies, but are formed as a result of the interaction of chemicals that come into our bodies, or things that come in and react with things that are already there and make something new, correct?
Correct. And this is an example. You can go to the dentist, have a mercury filling, or have it removed. You know, you broke your crown and or you broke the filling and the dentist is trying to get it out, and these vapors go there. Meaning we know the toxicity of what mercury vapor does to the body, but at the same time, it's not only toxic to your bacteria, but any of the bacteria that are surrounding there that are not normally in your body, that if you inhale it, it can cause another type of reaction. And that's what glutathione tries to neutralize, okay? Now, okay. With this, it's important to know that when the body is metabolizing, it's doing it under a reaction, as we've seen, you know, we've used many times, you know, Dr. Willard water, because it just makes things wetter, and it doesn't make the bathtub ring. You know, when you have the bathtub ring, that's where it's a hydrophilic reaction, because the soap scum or the skin, you know, cells are on the bathtub ring, okay? But when you have a solution like soap, it's supposed to mix it so you don't have that ring. And as like with water, it makes it wetter. That is an expression of a hydrophilic reaction, okay? What that means is water loving. Our cells, when glutathione is getting stimulated, it has to take the cells that these chemicals that come into your body love to go to fat, or they're lipophilic reactions, meaning fat-loving, okay? Where is the fat in the cell? Water-loving is on the outside cellular membrane, lipophilic is on the inside cell. Why? Because it needs to protect the DNA, which is in our nucleus, and our cytoplasm is made up of different salts, trace minerals, so it's like amniotic fluid, but done as a gel, as cytoplasm. Okay? Just as when we have a developing embryo in our body that goes into a fetus, the sac is the amniotic sac, but the water that is with it, you know, the water that contains the embryo and the fetus is made up of a salt solution, saline, okay? So that's a natural protection against bacteria. Now, for glutathione to come out of the body, the body uses the glutathione in its many sources within our body, especially in the muscles and that. It has to make the compound, which is fat lipophilic, to be hydrophilic, water-loving.
So glutathione performs that mechanism. That mechanism?
Right. That's
Wow, I didn't get that.
The first mechanism. The first mechanism of doing this reaction is like what I have said over time, you know, how much pancake batter do you have? It's layered, layered, layered. If it can't produce the protein, what they call glutathione conjugates, to bind it in or to convert it, it needs an enzyme. This enzyme is glutathione S-transferase. S stands for sulfur. I've said many times you need a little bit of sulfur. As we did that study with Annie Choi over a year ago, why Korean individuals have Roman feet, we found that that population had the Roman feet as compared to more Egyptian and Greek feet, but they also could taste the bitterness of phenylthiouria, okay? This is a primary example. The Egyptian ones that had the Egyptian feet and could not taste the phenylthiouria or the sodium benzoate has built up many conjugates, this is my theory, to protect their body from the toxin. Okay, I'm not saying they don't get sick, but they've got many activated protective mechanisms than someone that may not react that same way. Okay, when you go into their history, there's been a lot of, mold exposure, chemical exposure, et cetera, and they survived through it. And why that's important is because when the body is making this protein using the glutathione and the glutathione sulfur transferase, which is the enzyme that activates it, it binds it in. If it can't metabolize it to a less toxic chemical, it binds it in. So where do we? What happens then? It binds it to the fat. It binds it to the muscle. And what do you get? Cellulite. So many individuals go ahead.
So you know, using a sponge on the outside to get the cellulite gone is an effort in futility, correct?
Not necessarily. Meaning they've used thing, and also the sponge or any of those things. But what is that? That's physical action on the tissue that will, you know, abrase it, not cut it, but, you know, make it circulate. That is like exercise of that tissue so that the fat molecule can break down.
Okay.
All the response, and this we're going to go into it a little bit more detail when we get to the liver, but the whole thing, show, and I'm glad you brought that out, because many people never have cellulite, or they've been exposed to a pesticide, exposed to mold, and then, or even people that have been exposed to nanomaterials, that all of a sudden they've got cellulite where they didn't have cellulite before for decades, okay? The thing is, that is the body's way of protecting the body by binding it. At the same time, though, as these chemicals come off, or you lose your cellulite, or you lose the reams of fat around your body, the body then will release those toxins. So you want to make sure not only you're detoxifying, but you have the right, I'm going to say, nutritional or alternative nutrients present, like ImmunoCal, Ivory Caps, or any of these things, and glutathione supplements, so that it can help detoxify it and re-metabolize it, okay?
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Years ago, when I detoxed from Valium, it took me 7 years, Hildy, before I started, before the swooping feelings that came on every once in a while stopped. And it would always happen when I'd had, after I'd had a lot of exercise, or when I decided that I was going to change my diet. So that means to me that the body was releasing the fatty cells, which had in them, that where they had gone in and surrounded the Valium, the chemical that didn't belong in my body. And when I started breaking down those fatty cells, I experienced the Valium going through my bloodstream. Is that correct?
Correct. Correct. And the same thing happens with pesticides. Many people who have been exposed to organophosphate pesticides like malathion, if you ever have bad exposure, your pupils get like pinpoints, and they'll go, oh my God, I got such a headache. I feel like I've been exposed to malathion, but they haven't been exposed. It's when it's releasing. And the secondary release not only is in the whole body, but in the sinus cavity. Individuals don't realize how much your nasal cavity and your olfactory bulb and the sinuses are connected to the integrated system of the thymus and the thyroid to make the antidotes or stimulate the production of the enzymes to neutralize the toxins. And this also is very important for three areas: the liver, the kidney, and primarily the GI tract. The GI tract, as I've stated earlier in other shows, and that from the mouth to the anus, the first organ system that is generated after the blastomere, which is the formation of 32 cells of the developing future embryo, it inverts inside of itself, and that makes the mouth to the anus. What was outside is now on the inside. That means all the pollution, all the toxins are now on the inside. And the first time that any living life that is like a mammal that gives birth or any of this, it is the first time that you get your indigenous bacteria, microorganisms for your body, is through the birth canal, whatever your mom was eating and exposed to in bacteria, you get it. And then at the same time, that's on your skin, your natural indigenous bacteria, and at the same time in your intestinal colon. In the intestinal colon, the human body has approximately 400 microorganisms. These microorganisms' job, including yeast, is to break down food of a larger particle size into smaller particles and produce enzymes that are needed in the GI tract and other areas of the body. If you are exposed to mold, given the example like penicillin, which is, you know, normal, it's the green, black, and white mold that you see on surfaces or on shoes when you have a dampness or mold infestation on the majority. But if you were of heritage of Polish nations or Baltic country area, Baltic Sea area, like Lithuania, Estonia, Latvia, you would end up being at a greater risk because these mycotoxins, if they were not broken down by the use of the glutathione, would accumulate in the kidneys. Thus, that nationality has a greater risk upon chemical exposure to a mycotoxin from penicillin or any of those categories to having kidney problems or kidney tumors, okay? Because what happens is and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, if the chemical gets in there, glutathione's trying to neutralize it, but then if it can't get it neutralized and walled in, it goes to the second phase of the glutathione. After it makes the conjugates, it then uses and makes mercaptans. Mercaptans are where mercury molecules are involved, and in this they're called thiols or mercaptans because they have a sulfur hydrogen molecule attached to it. And in doing this, you become more, I'm going to say, chemical sensitive, because you don't realize that you may need more sulfur to help make the glutathione sulfur transferase enzyme so that you can start neutralizing any more, you know, more. If that fails, then the body has a third process, which I feel you've experienced, myself, many people that have been chemically poisoned, where it's like you make the prayer to God, you've lived through it, okay? You know,
oh God,
it's
yes.
Like life and death. That magical moment is when enzymes are stimulated to express what they call old-term survival gene or the suicide gene. In other words, the body doesn't start killing itself. The body starts regenerating and hits a mechanism so that life will go on.
Uh-huh.
So even though it's a simple word, glutathione, but at the same time, it has a major role when you start looking at it. In the majority of people that are exposed to mold or chemicals, the first thing they have is GI problems, because the chemicals kill off the bacteria within the GI flora, or mutate it. If it's mutated, then it's not working properly, or it's switched off, and by switched off meaning just not producing the proper mechanisms or enzymes, and then you have problems. What do you have? GI, irritable bowel, you have ulcers, female side leaching through, you know, from chemicals going through the skin or anything. You have endometriosis, where the uterus is bleeding on the inside, causing all pains, but no one's looked at it outside of myself, is where, well, what if it's chemicals getting there and irritating it, you know?
Wow. Wow.
Now, with all of this, remember, I'm just going to refresh. Glutathione's role is to make the compound that these chemicals that love lipophilic, meaning fat-soluble compounds, make them into water, you know, water-loving, okay? Because it's
okay.
Easier to work with in the body. It's just like it's metabolism, but it's breaking it down. And many people suffer from metabolic disorders that they don't even realize they have. Why does my stomach bloat up? Why I can't digest this? Why can I not eat this food anymore or anything? Because they had none of this other knowledge, which hopefully today they'll have this knowledge, and then they will be able to help themselves or ask questions of their doctors. I do, as we go into this, though, show, I do want to, while it's fresh in my mind, bring out to the audience the knowledge that there are many forms of glutathione out there on the market. A lot of them are reduced, going into where they have the sulfur in it for the glutathione sulfur transferase, so it works very good. Some are even now adding,
L-cysteine or NAC.
Yeah, and not only other amino acids, but they're also adding herbs, you know, to it. I know when people are real sick, I use, you know, for our clients, ImmunoCal. It has helped immensely in getting it back that way. But I would advise everyone, look at the label, make sure that it's not using a thin film or delivery system that way, because many people can accumulate those plastic thin films in their body and just cause other problems when you might be having that reaction to your body. That's all.
Okay.
Okay. Now, what also is important is that when this metabolism is occurring, stated earlier that you may create what they call, as I said, the xenobiotics. These are unknown chemicals, meaning there is a chemical, but they just don't know what the name of it is, and it hasn't been assigned a name, or it could be creating a lot of other chemicals. And what happens is those chemicals affect you, they affect the plants, can be affecting the plants, meaning if it's in, you know, their exposure, example, like the plant has pesticide in it, it then you eat the plant and then you reduce your glutathione or you cause another chain reaction, okay?
Can I make a comment right
there? Sure,
sure. Our bodies get really, really busy when the pesticides and what have you come along. And what you're saying, what I'm hearing you say, Hildy, is that the busier it gets, the more glutathione it depletes. And we need to, via food or supplements, replace the glutathione and its friends that help it along, like the NAC or the, you know, the sulfur, whatever. So we need to help it along by help the body along in by replacing these things that are depleted because of the exposures. Is that right?
Correct, correct. I appreciate that clarification. Also, in with each one of them, meaning the question, too, is what is glutathione? Glutathione is made up of three amino acids, cysteine, glutamate, and glutamic acid. If you're lacking one of those, it can't make enough of it, okay? And many times what happens is, how do you make cysteine or some of these other amino acids? You're dependent on your B vitamins. And your B vitamins are made by methylation process in the body. And in this process, you need citrulline. And when you're lacking that amino acid, you can't make the B vitamins, which can't make the other the other amino acids that are needed to reproduce glutathione.
So citrulline, as I told you earlier, I've never heard of it. How do we get citrulline?
You can buy it. It's in vegetables and fruits and everything, but you can buy it as amino acid. And it's always good to have, like, Bragg's Essential Amino Acids handy. I love that product. You can keep it in the refrigerator, use it on salads, or, as I say, put three squirts in your mouth, you know? But, for the eight essential amino acids that then make the others, because why this is so important, in a majority of the people that I have evaluated over my professional career, it has shown that the majority of all of them have, there's 22 amino acids, eight essential amino acids that they monitor, and eight that we need to live, period. They then, these individuals, have half of them gone at zero levels. So that's telling me something was really using up the glutathione, using up these protective mechanisms that stimulated without their knowledge of how to replace it.
Right. Way back years ago when I was being treated for the overgrowth of candida and my immune system collapsed, Dr. Leo Galland, very first thing that he did, well, he gave me nystatin, which was start killing off the yeast in my gut. But he also, he explained to me that because of the slime in my gut from the other overgrowth of yeast, that the amino acids that were being called for by my food, but they couldn't get through because of the goo in my stomach from the candida goo.
The biofilm, uh-huh.
Right, and what he explained to me was, my food was literally turning into a toxic mess. Mm-hmm. So what he explained to me was that we had to, yes, start killing off the yeast, at which point there would be a die-off and the Herxheimer reaction that's talked about with yeast. But he said also if we start adding amino acids, the stomach would be able to begin to digest food. And I was blown up I was horribly blown up. I mean, I was just toxic as could be. And I looked fat, but I wasn't. During the first 3 weeks of my detox from the candida and using the amino acids and starting to kill off the yeast, adding the probiotics, I lost 40 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Just
step
one,
left.
and it was all toxic fluids and things.
Right.
So he had me taking all of the amino acids by mouth in order to start digesting my food, which had just simply sat there and turned into toxic waste in my stomach.
Right. And a lot of people, you know, you can do IVs of glutathione, or you could do supplementation orally and absorption through the stomach. I've seen beautiful results with the absorption of the stomach, and that faster sometimes than IV, because IV is only circulating around and getting into the organs, but a majority of the loss of the glutathione is in the intestinal track of the body, especially after, you know, exposures of chemicals or mold or infectious diseases that an individual may go through. The thing is, too, that just looking at the GI tract, if you're exposed to a chemical that breaks down into alcohols, example, you could have gasoline spilled on you. It's going to metabolize into phenol. That's an alcohol. You could be exposed to propane gases or methanes or the odorants, which are also, some of them are like thiophene, which are odorants, which are makes the mercaptans and the thiols. But in this, these compounds can make alcohols, especially the anes, ethane, methane, fluorine, gases, propane.
The toxic off gas from yeast is acetaldehyde, which
turns into
alcohol.
It makes the yeast, which is a fungus, it makes at least 18 different other metabolites. Okay?
Thank you. It's
going through the body. But what happens and why it's important is alcohol builds up, even if you are drinking wine or alcohol, and that it makes the villi in the intestinal colon shrink, become stubs. If you took your hand and you spread it out and you opened up, you know, your fingers are spread out, but then you made like a claw, just bringing it in together before you make a fist, that is how it is in the intestinal colon with the villi. It takes a while for the alcohol to come out and then re-allow the villi to come out and express itself so that it can brush the fecal matter down, and that's all dependent on the bacteria that can easily be killed by alcohol. And the number one, whenever anyone's drinking a lot of alcohol or exposed to chemicals that break alcohol, you have a tremendous, you know, like yeast infection, et cetera, because of the natural flora. The thing is, though, what is important is that many indigenous people, like Native Americans in particular, Apache, Comanche, the American Samoan, Pacific Islanders, Hawaiians, etc., genetically have less of the ability to make it to break down alcohol. You know, like if they were coming in from aldehydes, like formaldehyde, to make it go into formic acid or anything, it's where, because they can't metabolize it as fast as other ethnic groups, they end up having immediate responses for the need of glutathione.
Uh-huh.
You know, to help metabolize it. Otherwise,
they
have the direct hit. And when you're, I'm going to say, more susceptible genetically that way, then you would definitely need to make sure that you had a good supply of it. And the first thing, like when it goes into the second phase of the breakdown, after it's trying to wall it in and protect your body and make it go into a hydrophilic reaction, the body will then, as I said, you know, make the after it conjugates the toxin, it will make it go into the thiomercaptan. That's the conjugate with the sulfur compounds on it. What happens is that sulfur, it loves to go to your thyroid and your thymus gland. And what happens is
that's what's going on with my sinuses.
they swell up. Your jaw, everything.
Thank you.
So many people, and there's so many articles now coming out on the thyroid and everything, but the thyroid, when it's, you know, like where your Adam's apple would be or your voice box, it's like an upside-down heart, that organ is. And it just lays over between your muscles and your esophagus, okay? The thing is, though, what happens is it is what they call a colloidal organ. And a colloidal organ is meaning it loves to absorb metals or other types of compounds with a positive-negative charge, like a sponge. So in that process of absorbing it, these materials get stuck or congested in the area of the thyroid. And what's going to happen? Glutathione's going to come right in there. And what's it going to do? It's going to do its job, wall it in, because I can't get rid of it.
Wow.
To protect it, because you have to have so much poison to be proportional to so much life force and so much oxygen so that it can neutralize it. You know, if you have too much poison and not enough of the other mechanisms, turn around, what happens? Death.
Well, I know what's going on with my body now. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, what is also important is we've talked about bacteria, we've talked about pesticides, chemicals, gas, et cetera, this way. You have to remember, too, all of us sometime in our life may have received a vaccine. Some of us may have received, the vaccine as an inoculation or a liquid that you had to swallow or on a sugar cube or whatever it is, especially our generation. The thing is that vaccine, whatever it may be, is for virus. Primarily, example like the polio or mumps, measles, etc. That, if you swallowed it, it's accumulating in the intestinal colon. Again, walled in. So many times, as the chemicals is come, excuse me, not chemicals, the material is coming out that is in the host cells. Example like we see with shingles, which comes from chickenpox. It follows the pattern of the nervous system, and it wraps around, goes from the spinal cord area all the way to the front of the stomach in very severe cases. It looks, in severe cases, it could be as big as your hand, the blisters, from the chicken pox. But the thing is that in any of this, the walling in is also occurred by the glutathione, so your infection time of when you had, your body was trying to protect you, but as it's getting cleaned off, you can you get re-exposed.
Okay.
Now, I find this very interesting for anyone that is of Chinese heritage. Even now, even if you may have like six Chinese genes, six Chinese genes like myself, the thing is, though, in ancient times, being in 1770s, it used to be standard procedure for the Oriental medicine doctor to take the scabs of smallpox, put them on a long cylinder, which would then go, that little tube would go into the nose of the prospective patient, and they would inoculate children or adults that way, by blowing the scabs into the nasal area.
Wow,
that was immunity. That was the first inoculations that way, outside of what was done, in Europe and that. But I find it very interesting because there was outbreaks of the smallpox and everything, and following it through the diseases and what was going on in the economy at that time. But I never realized that, so I thought that was important to share with the audience. You know,
interesting.
Yeah. Now, that'll be another show sometime in the future. I thought that book was interesting when I was reading it. And anyway, with these xenobiotics, what happens is the organism, the natural flora in your body, plus the chemicals, then create this biotransformation of enzymes, specific enzymes that are needed to neutralize these toxins and to repair the body. Now, if the chemical kills the bacteria, then you have a more chance of having greater, I'm going to say, disease patterns, because you don't have the bacteria that is naturally in your body to make the enzymes to fight off until it starts to regenerate.
And now, by bacteria, do you mean things like the probiotics?
Yeah, probiotics, meaning you could have everything right in your body but not have the knowledge to take a probiotic or that to re-get the bacteria back into your colon. And there's different types of probiotics and prebiotics, which are like Jerusalem artichoke, flower, that helps make them grow and everything. But, you know, like acidophilus is for the stomach versus bifidobacter is for the intestinal colon. You might need multiple ones because it is attacking these areas when it's converting, you know, making them less toxic. Now,
excuse me, let me just interject there for people who are not aware of this. When you take an antibiotic, it kills off the natural bacteria in your gut and in your lower intestines. You must replace it. If you don't, it's the only natural enemy of yeast. If you don't, the yeast begins to build up. And the if you eat yogurt, a little bit of yogurt, that's fine, but that's sort of like trying to go up Mount Everest with a toothpick. You know, you need to really, really replace the bacteria in the gut when the antibiotics have killed it off. All right, let me go.
Right.
And I'm not a doctor.
No.
These are things that are recommended to me by my medical doctor in New York years and years ago when I almost died from all of this. Go ahead.
Okay.
Sorry.
The other thing is you have to remember that your body may have a buildup of heavy metals from whatever you've been exposed to. It could be from arsenic on wallpaper or arsenic in textile dyes, or lead arsenic, because that was a good mouse killer or rat killer back then, you know.
Whoa.
So you never know what you really have unless you got tested, and that is just the baseline at that day and time. So keep in mind that metals love to mutate things, or to, because they have a charge on it, as your chemicals, as it's getting broken down by the glutathione, will create the electrophilic, neutrophilic compounds. The electrophilic compounds have a charge. Those are the ones that, when they're exposed to viruses or that, can make cancer situations. Okay, and I did a beautiful paper with Scott Evans on that, so you can see that mechanism. Years ago, the thing with all of it, which is very important, is to keep the good food for the intestinal colon. Sho brought out in reference to yogurt. When I was doing the genetic studies where we showed that individuals that had tartar and omic bloodlines, meaning the salt and rubber from the omic versus the tartar, the goat cheese and for their natural flora within their body, they had less exposure to the Morgellons, or, you know, exposure to the nano materials. It didn't anchor into their intestinal colon or any of this other stuff. The thing is, though, many cultures have natural foods that are like traditional foods or recipes that are used to assist the probiotic situation of the beneficial bacteria within the digestive tract. And it was brought out immensely during when there was a SARS epidemic in Asia, when everyone was studying that the Korean population didn't get it because they ate kimchi that helped the probiotics and had a natural immunity to it. Another food is buttermilk, cheese, goat cheese, kefir, miso. Miso was excellent after the bombing in Japan, and I'm sorry for all of that, after World War II, or during World War II, where people from the radiation poisoning used miso to help rebuild their body. Sauerkraut, emergency medicine in a can, high in sulfur. When you don't know what the poison is, just take that. It'll help the reaction go along to get it out of your body. Tempeh, umbushi, kimchi, as I said before, and yogurt. I've always stressed Greek yogurt because it has more of the natural flora in it. versus the process. There, I met a Mr. Yoon, who is the CEO of Yogurt, which is a Korean company, when I did a paper in Korea with Annie. The thing is, he was the first to make that product as a little like a vial, you know, a little plastic vial, and then you take one a day, and they usually have it after dinner, and he's been making it after the Korean War. That's how long that company's been in business in that, and it was such a pleasure to see that because it was so needed. He saw a vision before the world saw the necessity to help, you know, the GI tract. You know, that way.
Wow.
And now, with each one of these reactions, I'm going to mention some terms. There's going to be these reactions that are trying to neutralize these toxins, make them now from lipophilic to water, hydrophilic to loving water, is oxidation, reduction, epoxidation, deamination, hydrolation, sulfonation, desulfonation, dehalogenation, you know, meaning chlorine, fluorine, bromine, and conjugation with endogenous compounds. In other words, other compounds that it's going to be formed. The thing is, it's a mechanism. The mechanism is outside is water loving, inside is fat loving, lipophilic. And what happens is that you have to have the mechanisms within it, which are to make it go into other compounds so that you do not generate, as what they term, free radicals, chemicals within the system that are going to deprive the oxygen within the cell or inhibit, like vitamin B2, which is used to couple with oxygen to carry oxygen within the cell. But if you can't have your citrulline to make your methylation to make the B vitamins, you can't make vitamin B2 in the cell. And what is happening as it's going, as just as if it was happening, if we just specifically look at the kidney, if this reaction was going on and it was going wildly like a wildfire and was not supported with more glutathione so that you could replenish your body or give back the acidophilus and the bifidobacter back to the body, what happens is the overgrowth of the yeast and other pathogens start robbing. What do pathogens do in the body? Or I should say mold even, fungus, what it does is it makes little microtubules. It like injects it like a straw into the surrounding tissue that it's in and takes out the nutrients it wants. Ooh, I want more glutathione myself because I can grow. Get you, human body, you know, or animal. I want more of this, or I want more of this other nutrient, the amino acids. So it can't make, and what happens is, especially if it's in the kidney, it either increases the production of vitamin K or the less of it, and in that, that's when a situation occurs when you have nephritis and what inflammation of the kidney in that, and what happens after that is it can start to balloon or generate like polycystic or other reactions that way. So what I'm trying to share with the audience that it's our body is amazing. It's amazing how a baby can be made out of one cell and the DNA from the father, you know, and then create into a life form, whether it's a little seed or a kitty cat or a human being. Each one has its role in our world, but at the same time, it's a miracle of how all of them are made and generated that way.
Whatever consciousness put all this stuff together is really amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful picture.
Now, absolutely amazing.
In the bodies of just looking at the biochemistry of biotransformation, taking one substance and making it into a less toxic or changing it, because sometimes these toxins can be so great that these micromolecules become macromolecules, meaning larger molecules, and they may be more toxic to the body than the original compound. So The body is trying to get rid of it, but in that aspect of getting metabolizing it out, it has to create what they term metabolic activation. The original parent chemical metabolizes, and then that metabolite has to activate the body to create more enzymes to neutralize something, okay, meaning the toxin. Now, in many of this activity, I've done over the years what I do, human leukocyte antibody test, which is HLA genes. And in this, we have found that those white blood cells, the eosinophils, are specifically have like little periscopes on them, like if you're a submarine and you put the periscope on, that specifically goes after certain chemicals or certain reactions to different situations. Also, that these cells, passed on through generations, will be mutated or will have that knowledge of how to fight off certain things. And in particular, if we just look at carbon monoxide exposure, where you're going to create the thiols from the gas, because the carbon monoxide maybe is the metabolite of, you know, like propane, methane, et cetera. But it also may will have an odorant because these gases, propane does not have an odor. So for safety, it is added a mercaptan, which is like thiophane, or, you know, it's a whole selection of different odors that it can add to it. The thing is, though, what happens is that if that person on the HLA gene had like an A8, I'm just using that as an example, that the A8 gene is one from the ancient genes of civilization, like the beginning of time of humanity or any of that. So if that gene was stimulated, since it lived so long through the whole generation of that person's ancestral existence, those genes would then counteract of why a person may not succumb to that type of poisoning, because it may be the hidden mechanism to stimulate more glutathione or these protective instances. You've also seen, and I want to bring out, we have the compound, which monosodium glutamate. Remember I said, what do you need to make glutathione? You need to have glutamic acid, cysteine, and glutamate, okay? The thing is, though, many times the body, what is it going to do when you have exposure to glutamate and you don't need it? It's going to wall it in. So many of these other reactions that we're finding the correlation between the protective enzymes and the mechanisms of the body to detoxify may have why certain people are allergic to, like, monosodium glutamate, while other people aren't, or having the overstimulation. It's more knowledge is coming out in those areas that way.
So, Ilse, let me ask you a question. If the body walls in the components of monosodium glutamate in the fatty part of the cell, could that be the mechanism which is creating the obese society?
It could be one of them. One of them, like
right.
Even with the waterborne polyurethane, all of this. The whole thing is, when you go back into a lot of these individuals' hearts and you talk to them, they really don't eat that much. Now, I will say there's some compulsive eaters, but I want to bring out that term, compulsive, because when you lack your B vitamins, and then in particular the niacin side, it also triggers another mechanism in the body, in the gene pool, of the SIRT genes, S-I-R-T. We know 5, 6, and 7 make you very young-looking, but 1 through 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, can also create compulsiveness. In other words, washing dishes all the time, et cetera, this way.
that would be the day.
But what I'm saying is that these can occur, whether compulsive eating or whatever it may be. The thing is, the majority of this obesity, when you go back, it is exposure to some toxin or the inactivation of a protective mechanism that is causing this reaction to occur.
Gotcha.
I definitely know we're going to find that out. And that goes back into the food you eat, the preservatives, you know, any of this thing. But we've got to ask ourselves, too, and be honest with ourselves, what has happened in the last 5 to 10 years that has caused this to happen so fast globally?
Well,
we have all those answers for another show. But
right,
I would say,
you know, that it started probably long before that and
started breaking
us down. But I would say that the pesticides on our food and in our environment are, you know, the culprits that started off the whole
mechanism.
The whole,
number one,
right,
number
the whole,
one
the,
mechanism.
The whole demise of the human body to be able to manifest health, you know?
Yeah, it's one of our weakest things there. And, you know, with the creation of pink slime and everything else, it just does not help, you know, in all of this other stuff. But we've got many shows that we're going to cover on that in the near future. Right, Cho?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Yeah, and I want to
bring
gonna,
up... let's just say it, Hildy. We're going to talk about genetically modified seeds and genetically modified food, corn, and all of those things that are in our food supply today, and we really don't know which of the processed foods have genetically modified components, and so the labeling is a big issue right now, but that's, we're going to talk about that with Rosalind Peterson on July 24th.
Yeah, and we've got other shows coming up too, you know.
Right, we've got the breast male and female breast cancer.
Yes,
coming up with Dr. Cole,
Dr. Ellithrop.
Ellithrop, as soon as she's available. And then next week we've got Dr. Kolb. No, the July 31st, we've got Dr. Kolb, who's going to be talking about breast implants and what happens to the body when they burst.
Right.
Or just what happens when they're inserted, and oh my heavens, here comes all this toxic stuff.
Right. We've got a lot to cover and make our audience aware of it. Now, the other thing that I want to bring out that many people have, you know, expressed gluten intolerance or any of this, but it goes back to the thiacin grains. They're T-R-I-T-I-C-E-A-E grains that were very popular in the Near and Middle East over 10,000 years ago. And if you had an HLA gene with a mutation of on your QA gene, which was a 0505, turn around, you could not break down these grains properly, thus that gluten intolerance. But these grains, which would be of the genera for wheat, barley, rye crops, but if you were that and you were poisoned, you would need those types of grains to help turn you around within your body to stimulate your ancient genes that were 10,000 years old. So I think it's very interesting how all these genes play into it. It's like a book.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, goodness. We're done.
We're already halfway.
Wow.
Please, audience, we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to come right back with my special guest, Shoshana Allison, and we're going to continue glutathione and biotransformation.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the One Cell, One Light Radio Show with your host, Dr. Hildegard Stanninger, and my special guest, Shoshana Allison. Before we left for the first hour, we were talking about glutathione, and I believe I made a mistake earlier in my zealousness of getting glutathione out there and calling it enzyme. In reality, it is a protein, please forgive me, audience, that uses three amino acids to make itself, which is cytosine, glutamic acid, and glycine. And I said earlier, glutamate. I can't even stay straight on my paper, so I apologize to you, okay? But because of the glutamic acid need, that's where we were talking about the, monosodium glutamate. That's where the confusion can be, because that will produce glutamic acid.
Okay.
Okay? So I wanted to make those corrections. Now, in the thing, meaning the glutathione, as just in recapping, meaning chemicals that we know we've already discussed, like cigarette smoke, radiation, cancer, chemotherapy, electrophilic compounds, meaning like chemicals that break down from vinyl chloride or dioxin or any of these, alcohols, mercaptan styles, mycotoxins, carbon monoxide, ammonia, and other toxic substances are known to be neutralized by glutathione. Okay? It is also a very good detoxifier of heavy metals, drugs, and other medications. It cleanses and aids the treatment of blood and liver disorders. The thing is, though, with any of this, you do need, as you're using like glutathione to rebuild your body and to help detoxify and to bind these compounds, you may also need to take additional supplementation, maybe chlorophyll, or as we stated earlier, these natural probiotics or anything to help the detoxification process and the rebuilding of it.
And you mentioned something about niacin. Didn't you say niacin and vitamin C at one point for all of this?
Right, because, see, niacin is a B vitamin, which is very important. It's used with the glutathione, but it's in the GI tract formed. It's high accumulation in the hands, the feet, the anus area of the body. And the thing is, when you have those areas itch, or your head turns red, or your palms itch and turn red, or your feet or the anal itch, you're usually lacking the niacin.
Interesting.
And so you know you don't have those symptoms when you take that supplement.
Right, and okay? I want to mention about the vitamin C. Most vitamin C on the market is made from genetically modified corn. So there are two companies now that have organic vitamin C that's made from fruit, that is, and it's certified organic. Nature's Way has one called Alive, and now has a brand that I cannot tell you what it is right now, because I can't find the box. But there are some organically certified vitamin C's on the market. The vitamin C is that we've been taking all these years is from genetically modified corn. Not a good idea.
Right.
Okay.
Beyond an orange.
Sorry.
No, it's very important. And also I want to bring out, you know, when you have cells that are like a tumor that we know it has a blood source versus a cyst doesn't have a blood source, that the tumor needs, for it not to be carcinogenic, it needs to have present selenium and vitamin E. But vitamin C is a water-soluble vitamin versus vitamin E is a fat-soluble, lipophilic vitamin. And to make those two, because they're opposing, you know, it's like oil and water, to make them work together, you need alpha-lipoic acid. And
that's why ALA is important.
Right.
Thank you.
And if you did not have the proper amount of selenium, example like 200 micrograms or anything, you know, like as a supplement, and you the glutathione, which then made the glutathione peroxidase, you know, with the glutathione S transferase, meaning it just, you know, converted into that, what would happen is if you didn't have the selenium, it could not neutralize the hydrogen peroxides that would build up in the cell and then create the superoxides, you know, radicals or any of this. So it's very important, the more you get into your own health and your own reading and many of the literatures out there that are very good texts and everything, that you look at the synergistic effect of what different minerals or supplements are needed together to help reduce the burden. Because if you didn't have the difference with the tumor that is carcinogenic versus non, it has the right proportion of selenium and vitamin E. If it's lacking either one, it could be a carcinogenic tumor.
Wow.
Which goes into not having selenium to help neutralize the peroxide that was used to generate by the neutralization of the toxin, whoever the original offender is, with the glutathione.
Got it.
Okay.
Whoa.
Now
it's a lot. It's a lot, Hildy. It's a lot. For
right.
Just a poor human being, new to toxicology and detoxing and all of that, it's a lot to try and wrap our heads around.
Right, and that's why we do these special shows.
Go ahead.
What the world will know, a little bit of a lot of stuff, so that then they can hopefully find the answer.
And come back and listen to the show again and again and again.
Right,
because
that's why we are.
I'm learning today things that I've read the paper. Hildy and I have talked for 10 years about all these things, and I'm learning things today that I didn't know. Thank you.
Okay. Now, I want to cover in this biochemical conjugations, meaning when it's making these new compounds using the glutathione, the glutathione S transferase, I want to put emphasis on species differences. In other words, we're mammals, okay? We may be different than a reptile, an amphibian, a fish, a bird, and then, you know, it all depends on what is going on in the body. When you need the extra amount of detoxification of these xenobiotics, these chemicals within the body of the living system, it usually goes into using cytochrome P450, which is an enzyme that is found in high amounts in target organ systems that are high in mitochondria. Those areas, pardon me, are lungs, liver, and kidney primarily, and reproductive organs. But just looking at the liver and what is going on there, the principal, that organ, as with the secondary detox, is the kidney. It's using its ability to take the chemical and detoxify it by bringing in the sulfur, glutathione sulfur transferase, so it can make it less toxic. But it will start it from the detoxification of lungs, kidney, small intestine, and then liver. Okay? So many people have a pain like on the right side, the left side, and it's where we've seen an increase of pancreatic cancer or anything, is because the small intestine is being stimulated, hitting the pancreas, more pancreatic acids coming out, and then chemical interaction, maybe no glutathione, no selenium, et cetera, and then you get the disease of pancreatic cancer. The thing is, though, species differentiation, if we look at the mouse liver as compared to the monkey liver, in just that reaction, the mouse liver is 10 times more protective enzymes than the monkey liver for glutathione.
Really?
Right.
Wow.
And what I have found as a scientist, I found it always very interesting that rat and mice have 100 times more protective enzymes than a human being, and that was all recognized in the 40s by Dr. Hill, that I always find it interesting that those were the animals of choice to do any of the toxicological studies.
Wow.
To extrapolate to humans. And what is important is that when chemicals are interacting with the cytochrome P450, and say the chemicals got stuck in the mitochondria or in the inside of the cell, the next question is, what protects that? A monooxygenase, which is an enzyme, comes out. But if it's at low amounts, or you're having this overabundance where you're stimulating sulfur to come in and it's making these chain reactions occur because it's trying to neutralize the toxin or wall it up, it makes what we term the fishy odor syndrome, the skunk. You know, when you're exposed to certain chemicals, you have these odors that can come out. Like with malathion or anything, you might have a garlic odor versus with squalene, which is a plastic, you might smell like a skunk.
Wow.
So what I'm saying to you, audience, these are just helpful hints to know if you're smelling like a skunk or any of that, you may need a little bit more sulfur. And what is important is, we've talked about the animals, meaning the human beings in that, meaning under the mammals, but a pig has the lowest amount of sulfur transferase activity.
Okay.
Meaning that if it needs sulfur to neutralize something, it has low amounts, so it would go directly to the toxin, to its to its body, its muscle system, etc. While a cat has the same similar peripheral nervous system as a human being, but it doesn't have the same enzyme like our glutathione S transferase. It has glucanol transferase. So if it is exposed, which it allows it, meaning the cat, to be exposed to high amounts of sulfur.
Huh.
So it goes back to what's the diet, you know, in these things, and how plants and other, you know, if they eat a lot of fish or whatever, play a role in this. Because foods that have been contributed to, bioethnic foods from many different cultures over the world, example, like mustard greens, arugula, eggs, onions, garlic, broccoli, kale, cabbage, and fermented foods are high in, like sauerkraut, are high in sulfur content, and those are usually given to individuals whenever they're ill to help the chain reaction when you need more sulfur, you know, to stimulate the glutathione.
Wow.
Okay. Now, with that whole mechanism of the sulfonation, if you continually did not have, you know, if it's stuck in the mitochondria, where you mitochondria, you know, is high in concentration in target organs that are deep red, brown color, because that's what mitochondria is in that color. The thing is that the monooxygenase, which I spoke of earlier, that makes the fishy odor or skunk odor smell, it was always countered with Jerusalem artichoke because it helped make good probiotics and get the enzymes out and everything. This, if it binds to nitrogen after it makes this ester of this accumulation, because I'm going to give a big word, it's called 2-acetylaminofluorine, which is 2-AAF. If this compound is formed in the mitochondria by the cytochrome P450,
do we get our doctorate after we've learned all this?
Yeah, well, yeah, you will. I'd give it to you. It makes what we termed as the carbonium nitrum carbonium ion. What are you there? What this means that those cells are more prone to create cancer.
Wow.
Okay. So what I'm trying to say to you, audience, with the proper food, the diet, the proper outlook, and the change, a lot of this, what they're saying, well, my mother or my father had this disease or this, or it's, you know, they're just weak. It may be that they don't have enough glutathione and went to generations. Ask what they did for a living. What type of chemical exposures were you involved? Where did you live? You might have been in certain areas that are now hazardous waste dumps, but not then, when you were growing up. The water was polluted.
How about living in the middle of Iowa in the middle of all the glyphosate spraying? Oh my goodness!
Yeah, it's all playing a role on all of us. Now, what is important, too, is that there was a study done, and it's referenced in the paper, that they did, you know, a comparison of thyroids. They called it hypothymus removal and also castration of male rats, because to see if they could reduce the amount of the sulfur. And in doing that, they initiated the diseases because they saw that it was proportional to glutathione and the amounts of proteins there.
Wow. Wow.
Okay. So there's a lot to learn and to describe. Now, with each one of these, one of the major contributors to the whole study of glutathione in the early 50s, and it was recognized early on in, like in 1879 and 76, that they isolated glutathione. But the interaction of glutathione as itself, as the protein, with the enzyme glutathione S transferase was done by Jacoby, Dr. Jacoby, and then a colleague of his, Keene, and it, as referenced in the paper. The thing is that from that contribution, they recognized that if you created the glutathione thiolate ion, which is the one, the second mechanism where you create the thiols, you know, like if you're exposed to mercury and then it creates the thiols, dyes, et cetera, this way. The contributing factor to the xenobiotic, meaning the unknown chemicals that initiate diseases or make it more hydrophobic, away from water, less water, was the electrophilic compounds. And is in this paper that I did with Scott Evans and that years ago, electrophilic compounds are more, when they're exposed to virus or another source, will create cancers. You have a greater risk. Sometimes it's not the chemical itself, it's the combination of it that can create the disease.
Well, that would be the xenobiotic. It was those things?
Right, right. Well, xenobiotics is the chemicals mixed with the biological chemicals.
Okay, so these,
in other words,
these are
mercury with glutathione S transferase. That's the biological chemical, the enzyme, but it's got a little mercury in it. So the body thinks it's supposed to have mercury versus it's supposed to have sulfur. It screws up the sulfur on the charge.
Oh. So some of these things take the place. I mean, they're stealth.
They don't take the place. The body
they're stealth. The body thinks it's something and it's not.
Correct.
Got it.
Because the body sees it as food, and then it sees it secondary as how many charges you got on yourself. You have -3, and you've got a +2. Who's going to win? You think the +2 is going to win? No, the -3, because it's got more of it.
Got it.
It's just, you know, the way the body is. Now, the thing is, with this is where it's important with the glutathione as a source of cysteine, and we've mentioned cysteine many times, because cysteine is used as the amino acid, and what happens is when you lack that, you create homocysteine, and homocysteine makes you more prone to heart attack or difficulties that way. But one of the symptoms that you have when you're lacking cysteine is little tiny red little dots that look like little cherry molds, you know, on you. But as soon as you get cysteine in your body, those cherry molds disappear.
Question. The amino acid supplements normally say L-cysteine. Is it the same thing?
Yes. Yes.
We're talking about a left-handed molecule.
Well, we're talking
molecule.
Left-handed versus right-handed. And
does it matter?
Well, yeah, because the body takes L1. Sometimes the other one might not work or be harmful to the body.
Okay, so which one do we need or do we know?
L.
The L system.
I think it's required by law that all of them are L. Okay, but anyway, when this reaction with the electrophilic carbon, in other words, the carbon with the charge on it, it will react more with halides, which are, trihalomethanes or any of these that you find in water, sulfates, sulfonates, phosphates, rather, and nitro groups. What is important with the nitro groups is that in many of the new antimicrobial agents, they use silane siloxanes, which are where they have a positive nitrogen 4 charge. It's a positive charge. When nitrogen, like in ammonia, it's supposed to be a negative charge. So it's silicone with that charge on it and usually another polymer. The thing is that that compound, when it's being neutralized, meaning the nitronium ion molecule, rather, a positive charge with the carbon, it can cause other chain reactions, in particular with losing the buildup of ammonia within the body. Now,
okay, and we want to get the ammonia out, correct, or do we need
Correct, because as I say, it's not normal to have ammonia in your blood. What's happening? It's either a metabolic difficulty, you've been exposed to ammonia, or you are having some other types of exposures that you don't even realize, meaning, you know, as like antimicrobial agents.
The chemicals in our body are producing ammonia when they're not supposed to. The synergistic effect of one and the other one and the other one, we've got ammonia, correct?
Correct. Now, the thing is, too, that with each one of these items, that if you have, like we've talked a lot about sulfur and everything, but if you... You know, if you don't have it right, meaning with the body, meaning enough of the glutathione, the body will break down compounds using the glutathione sulfur transferase, like and make thiocyanates, which are when the body's trying to break down cyanide. Like, say you were exposed to disulfides or hydrogen sulfide, the xenobiotic reaction result was going to be a thiocyanate. You find those in urines or in the blood. But the thing is, that mechanism would create a lot of thiols, you know, to be built up in your body or walled in.
Okay.
And what I'm saying is it goes back to whether it's infectious, whether it's, virus, whatever it may be, your body recognizes it because it's trying to build up an immunity. If it can't build it up and it's overwhelming, it walls it in. If it doesn't have the resources like the glutathione or the other enzymes to do that, then it's a direct hit on those organ systems with no protection.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
And the immune system is usually the mechanism that sends out whatever the reserves are that is needed in it. Okay? Now, with each one of these items for the production of not only the naming of the glutathione S-transferase that was, identified through the Jacoby studies, but also... that mercaptic acid that forms, because we create mercaptans or anything. Mercaptans can also be formed, with the exposure to mercury. And thus, if you had high mercaptans and then get exposed to, like, ochratoxin or any of these other, like mycotoxins or another chemical, but if that... the mercaptans were in the kidney, that goes back to losing or stimulating the production of vitamin K.
Okay.
So
we have to
function.
Supplement the vitamin K?
Sometimes you do. That's where you use
is
the
K. Is it K or K2? Is it K or K2?
K.
Just plain K, not K2.
No, K. Well, there's K1, 2, and 3.
Right.
So I
noticed that the vitamin K2... is a supplement that's available out there a lot now, but I haven't seen just plain old vitamin K.
Yeah, well, they might do it as 1, 2, and 3. I don't know. But again, remember, it's related to also the production of vitamin B. So whenever you're ill or anything, make sure you take your B vitamins. It was also pointed out in our paper that with Dr. Ferry and I that if you were taking glutathione and you supplemented it with a little what they call DHEA, which is dehydroandrosterone. There's a bug right flying here. Anyway, and in this process of using DHEA, it could be 25 milligrams or less. But the thing is that when you had the glutathione, it made you younger, and you had a lot of regenerative areas and that. And also that it's aided in raising the glutathione levels, but it also helped in reducing the amount of multiple xenobiotics that could cause calcification of the pituitary glands. And that may be when you're losing the glutathione and you have these other multiple xenobiotics in your body, that calcification occurs because the calcium is coming out from the muscle. Once the muscle loses its calcium, then it comes out from the bone.
Ah, okay. Hildy, we're right at the half hour now, and I have a question, and I think that our audience is gonna be appreciative of this question. Okay, what's a poor girl to do?
Well, a poor girl or a poor guy is to just be more aware of their bodies, and if. And if they've been poisoned with anything, it's like take the taurine if you've got sensitivity to the light and have glutathione on hand.
Okay, let me ask you this. How do we know if we have been if we're not feeling right and we're having, you know, all sorts of little side effects of our in our body that we just don't quite understand? How do we find out if or what if we've been poisoned, or how, you know, you got it.
Right.
How do we find out what we need to do in order to target certain chemicals that we may have been exposed to and not even known it? You know, maybe we were riding on a bus and had the diesel fumes from the bus, but we drove past a chemical plant where there was a leak and nobody told us, and we go home and, you know, for the next 6 months we're sick.
Right,
so
or like what happened here in the city of Los Angeles, that many of the bus drivers for the metro ended up with workman comp because they were affected by, they didn't realize that their buses were being sprayed for roaches, you know.
Oh my
God. In a preventive type mode, but turn around, hey, the public rides the buses too and was not notified, you know.
Right. Like, okay. So you have tests that can be done, correct?
Well, one is anyone would have the test, but the simple thing is to know is if you're having a symptom of a headache, nausea, or fatigue or that, and you haven't been to your knowledge exposed to anything, you may have been exposed, and it would not hurt to eat, you know, some sauerkraut or any of those probiotic foods that help have the sulfur in it to help your glutathione, or to have glutathione on hand. You know, it's like maybe you should keep a little bottle of activated in your first aid kit, activated charcoal, glutathione, and taurine so that you can have it handy when you need it. The other thing is that from testing, yes, you can measure the amount of glutathione levels, but what I would emphasize with anyone that was listening to this program is to measure blood and urine of the amino acids, because if you're lacking the certain amino acids, then you can't make it. If you're high in those amino acids and you're not eating, it's not a question of eating the foods or taking the supplement. If you're high, something in your body is stimulating those to come out to try to stimulate the neutralization of something. So I would have that particular test done when you don't know what you're exposed to.
Right, and that's a regular lab test from the doctor's office. What about your advanced? Well, we talked in one show about your advanced resonance testing, and that is, to my knowledge, that is a little patch that you put on your body, on your tailbone overnight, and send it to Dr. Hilde, and she sends it into a laboratory that can tell you the various chemicals or whatever that are floating around in your body that don't belong there, or the ones that do belong there, and whether or not they're in the proper formula for a healthy body.
Right.
So do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, well, in highlighting, it measures the bioelectric fields of these compounds in association to the body. And in this, we've used this very well in identifying unknown compounds, like nickel carbonyl before it was found in the body, meaning it was like in the surface coming through. And also you can look very well at systemic toxicological effects and seeing that if you're super saturated or anything. It's the best when you want an economical way to identify whatever the environmental pollutant may be in a simple way. It's not diagnosing or anything, but it is beautiful the way it goes exactly with whatever clinical studies are being, you know, clinical tests have been done.
Right. That is really important, and that those tests are available through, by calling your office, correct?
Correct.
And you do a report with them, and it's expensive. It's not all that expensive. It's like one of the posters for the genetically modified food says, you know, can't afford organic. Have you checked the cost of cancer lately? You know? So what we're talking about here is finding out exactly what's going on with chemicals in your body, and Dr. Hilde then can work with you and put together a protocol that will get them out using all of this information that we've brought forward today. Is that correct?
Correct. And what I want to emphasize, too, is that if you ever go on to, there's a company like DNA Tribes that do beautiful genetic work and seeing what your natural heritages or nationalities are. And if you ever mention my name, Dr. Hildegard Stanninger, that they'll give you a discount. But the thing is, it is important to see if you've got a little bit of Apache, Comanche, or Hawaiian, or Chinese, or Mongolian, or Samoan in you, because you may not be able to break down these chemicals as fast as other European heritages, or that because that would explain why you get certain nationalities are getting more disease patterns now than what it was ever in the past.
Gotcha.
That way. Also, in some of these compounds, I want to bring out when it makes these conversions that the individual may be, you know, if it's male or female, the males may be more susceptible than the female especially when you have, calcification of the pituitary, or where the pituitary gland was removed. They did this in rat studies, and it showed that the male rat was more susceptible than the female rat.
Wow. Wow. Well, that's true in a lot of the studies that I see. The males and the females, little guys will respond in an entirely different way to treatment even, mm-hmm. as well as, of course.
Right, and I want to bring out an important thing, too, which is important to me, is that when the body is expelling glutathione-derived sulfur metabolites, in other words, it used its glutathione S-transferase to neutralize this toxin to come in, that the majority of that compound will be coming out of the feces, through the intestinal tract out as feces. So the importance is with any odors of the urine or the feces is note what that odor is, because that can help your physician or help your healthcare provider or alternative medicine person, or if you want to, when you're poisoned, go to a toxicologist, you call us. It will help.
323-466-2599. Say it,
Hildy. Yeah. Anyway,
just put it out there.
What what it will do is it will help to assist you in determining what type of chemicals they may be may have been that you were exposed to. It's all related into the one and how it pays attention. And the importance of the when this glutathione interacts with cysteine, you know, when you need it for the B vitamins, if those are low and that and it's being robbed, the glutathione, from the small intestine, it can easily set up the body, you know, for pancreatic cancer or anything like that. And we've had so many movie stars pass away from pancreatic cancer that maybe this is all related, that at their time of their passing, that knowledge was not present. Hopefully this knowledge will help someone else, example being Patrick Swayze, Michael Landon, Lee Remick. They passed away from pancreatic cancer.
Wow.
You know, that
glutathione supplement might have been helpful.
Might have been helpful, and maybe the history, because many actors and actresses go to different lands, different sets, et cetera, different chemical exposures or maybe bug sprays or anything, and don't even realize that this is going on, as we shared with the people on the bus, okay? The thing is that we're all getting bombarded with so many things now, and with the change, as we've noticed, you know, more pesticides in the food, the GMOs, or any of this thing, our bodies are getting more weaker, as I would say, and it's time to make the change and make, from this knowledge, make the best choices and to make your body healthier so that you can get those ancient genes alive and waken out there.
Got it. Okay.
Now, I want to bring out to the audience that if you do go look at the paper, the paper has many diagrams to help show how the flow of a chemical would change in its different reactions. But figure 7, if you can blow it up, it would be good for you to look at, because it does give a relationship which was taken out of the textbook of Determinant of Toxicology chapter in for glutathione, from Principles and Methods of Toxicology. And it brings out the importance of how that glutathione is used not only in the kidney, in the arteries, in the whole cytoplasmic membrane of the liver, and the natural flora. So recently, I think we have it attached to this show, is that UCLA did a very big study on the importance of microflora, and how that if you did not have enough of the right probiotics in your microflora, it would have an effect on the brain. And it has been shown that the lack of glutathione or those proteins can also affect schizophrenic and bipolarism.
Okay, I don't think I've linked that article, but
we will. But we're just trying to, each one of these shows,
Go ahead.
What I'm saying is for the audience that we're trying to get as many of the articles out and as many information so it makes it convenient for you. I know show does a lot of work on getting these shows prepared, but it makes it convenient for you so that you can have those tools present there, read more about them in the other papers or the links, and then, you know, do your own investigative studies, okay?
All right. Now I have another question.
Yes.
Last night, before I posted finished the website for today's show, I posted a new article on From the Desk of Dr. Hilde.
Yes.
And it's about acetaminophen, and talk to us.
Yes. What that is that when you study into the glutathione protective mechanisms, what do we know about the liver is that it is can be very fatty. It produces the cholesterol and the triglycerides, the fat molecules, to protect the body. But when you have acetaminophen, which can make an electrophilic compound, it can get congested in the liver and thus rob of the glutathione and thus make you more toxic than what you already are. And that's what they have found, that when you have exposure to acetaminophen and then exposed to a toxic example like weed killer or any of these other things, you end up having liver failure, liver problems, or that because you don't know about the glutathione.
Okay.
And that, and the whole thing with each one of this, with the toxin, many people were exposed to, you know, taking Tylenol or any of these compounds that have it, acetaminophen in it, that it, in taking it, they would take it for a headache or any of this type thing, but then get exposed to, like, walk the rails and get exposed to a weed killer on a railroad, you know, track or anything, especially in your rural areas. The thing is, though, with each one of these, you don't realize the importance of what is needed in the glutathione until you, it's too late, you've already been exposed, and then you read about it.
Right. Well, then you know what to do about it. What's the recovery rate here? Can our bodies come back to a normal functioning?
Yes. I mean, the wonderful thing about the liver is that it is an organ that regenerates.
Okay.
And if once that congestion is out of the body and you get back your glutathione and you get back your sulfur and everything, you can turn it around. But it's being aware of this action so that you can turn it around.
Right.
Many people, you know, all of us have to learn something, and many of us didn't have that knowledge, and that's what these programs are about, so that we have that knowledge to help people learn.
Right. Good. Thank you. Okay. And you've got 10 minutes.
Well, we're going
to... What do you want to talk about?
Well, what I want, I still want on the subject, but what I want to bring out is that it would not hurt anyone to check their amino acids, get their levels, and then you'd know if you're making your own B vitamins or you're taking too much supplements and you got super saturation or anything. It's a quick test for children or anything. You can use the urine. I know when we had Dr. Gersten on, he said that it was very important to do, like, the blood to see how much was circulating in the blood. But in each one of these events, I think it's always good to have the data because then you know in that moment of time what your levels were.
Right. And then as you attempt to do reclamation of your health... You can retest. I know you and I tested, I don't know, a year and a half ago for chemicals in my body, and we found, 12 things that didn't belong there. And we tested again after, I guess, 6 or 7 months of my using your Bachi Mi blends and the chalk moles and the you know, the various of your supplements with all the wonderful herbs and things in them. About 6 months later, we tested again, and I was down to 5. And the last time we tested, I was at 0.
Yeah.
So
it
your
does
your products
up.
Work. Your products work, Hildy.
Yeah. But that's with any product. You want to be able to monitor it some way to see that you are getting the benefit of those products because you're investing in your health and your beauty, and you want to see that. And when you can couple it with some monitoring test, it really helps it. I want to bring out, too, we touched on that monosodium glutamate earlier, but I wanted to bring out that when Jacoby and them, they did their studies, they also found that in, what do you call it, male rats that had the monosodium glutamate would cause lesions on the hypothalamus gland but it also would cause lower activity of the glutathione S transferase in male rats. What that means is they didn't have the ability to stimulate that enzyme to stimulate the glutathione, to work with the glutathione to neutralize the toxin.
Wow.
So it'd be interesting, I know we had Dr. Monti on, if through his studies of, he did aspartame or that, I don't know if he did monosodium glutamate, but any of the ones that did monosodium glutamate studies, if it was more dominant of those ill health effects in males versus females.
Oh, my. Hildy, aspartame, of course, is the formaldehyde that winds up in the body. And
right.
That's another whole story. How does that react with the glutathione?
Well, the glutathione, aspartame came into the body. The glutathione comes in and makes it into the formaldehyde. Thus, if you don't have the enzymes or the other more glutathione, it can't break down the formic acid. Do you see what I mean?
Okay.
Glutathione is proportional to the toxin.
Gotcha.
In other words, you need, if you have 100 milligrams of toxin, you need 100 milligrams of glutathione to neutralize it.
Wow.
If they're out of balance or you have more toxin coming out or more toxic chemical being metabolized as the first reaction, then you need more of the glutathione, and it needs to be also stimulated by the sulfur compounds of that enzyme, glutathione S transferase. Otherwise, it's not going to work properly.
Wow.
That's why people get chemical sensitive. That's why people get toxic. That's why people get cancer, et cetera. The mechanisms of the disease are initiated by the ability of the body not to detoxify or not to neutralize certain chemical reactions. And the majority of these diseases are always thinking of infectious in nature or exposure versus looking at what is the history of the chemical exposure.
Right. So for the most part, science has been looking at the wrong end of the telescope.
Possibly all the ones that are not toxicologists.
So they're peering back on themselves and seeing nothing different. I mean, they're not looking at the details.
Well,
and that's
like,
where the devil's in the details, isn't it, Hildy?
Possibly, yep. Yep. The thing is that you know, with all different curriculums or anything, you either get involved or you like to grow knowledge on your own. You know, it's with many courses that are in the medical, they have not as much nutritional courses. Definitely one, if none, in toxicology. And, you know, it was big business before you had divorce lawyers, you know. So it's quite interesting when you look at the history of anything.
Right. Okay.
That way. Now, what I want to bring out, too, is we touched base on the foods and everything, and on the show there's a beautiful pictures that Shoshana did to help stimulate you to know that avocados have high amounts of glutathione, cauliflower, asparagus. And remember, asparagus, you know, people say, well, I get the histones, I get that odor in it. Well, the odor used to not be present or measurable until they started to spray methyl bromide, and in doing the bromination, which stimulates the monooxygenase, you know, going into the cytochrome P450, that's when you get that odd odor. So if that odor
is coming, bi-organic,
it may be the spraying of the asparagus. Or the asparagus may be helping you because of it having the sulfur in it and the high amount of glutathione, getting the toxins out of your body.
Right.
And thus the odors.
Right. So, but in the meanwhile, not adding any more. It's like, you know, if you pick it, it'll never get well, Hildy.
Mm-hmm.
If we're already toxic and if we're already, our bodies are already full of chemicals that we didn't even know we had taken in, it's best to begin to eliminate everything that we can to so we're not adding more. In other words, you know, buy organic. Go to your local food market and ask, do you spray this spinach? And the farmers have to tell you because, you know, go to the farmer's market. They have to tell you because their neighbor knows, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The guy at the next booth knows whether or not he's spraying his spinach with pesticides. So you can, you know, and as I said earlier, the there's a poster out there that says, you know, if you think organic is expensive, have you checked the price of cancer lately, you know?
Right, right.
Anyway,
now, what,
go ahead.
What I want to, in summary, I want to bring out, because a lot of times we get exposed to a single chemical or any of that, but in our lifetimes we've been exposed to mold. It could be mold on even, you know, not beer, wine, meaning different grains, different foods, you know, fruit. And somebody says, well, just cut that end off. You can still eat it, but it has little,
right, it's like,
you know,
a piece
spores
of cheese
in it or anything, or cheese or anything,
right,
like that. What I'm trying to say to your audience is that molds have the greater affinity to make, because they're alive, to make more xenobiotic compounds than even some of the regular compounds that we know as toxic, okay? Whether it's yeast, aflatoxin, penicillin, any of them, fusarium, or any of those, I'm just going to give you out some of the diseases that can be caused by these types of mycotoxins from these different organisms, you know, fungus, because the majority of all of them need glutathione, okay? In any of it, even if it has a cancer and you had treatment, what do? Chemotherapy, radiation, et cetera, you lose glutathione. So you need to discuss with your doctor if you're going through any of those, if you can do glutathione supplementation. So gout, hypertension, arterial sclerosis, which is also the lack of vitamin B6, hyperlipidemia, meaning fat in the blood and in the body, cardiac arrhythmias, hypertension, multiple sclerosis, pulmonary hypertension, scleroderma, diabetes, Crohn's disease, lung cancer, esophagus cancer, breast cancer, endometrial cancer, colon cancer, hepatocellular carcinoma, hepatotomia, osteoporosis, cardiac arrhythmias.
These are all from mycotoxins?
Mycotoxins. What do you call it? Cashin-Beck disease. Dendrocardic toxosis, meaning swelling of the brain. Cardiac, beriberi. Ergotism. Balkan, as I said, stated this earlier, Balkan nephropathy, which is from like Polish or Lithuanian or any of those that lived on the Balkans are more prone to it, and also Reye syndrome. What I'm saying is there's about, I would say, about 15 different diseases there, but it was all related to just the mycotoxins of specific molds. And yes, specific molds can cause certain diseases or disorders, but just looking at that, there's 500,000 species of fungi out there.
Oh, my word.
And how many millions of chemicals are made? How many different nanotechnologies are made, you know, that go into the cells or anything? What I'm saying is there's a lot of toxins out there. Doesn't matter what the category is, but when you have the knowledge of, start looking at your glutathione, not just the levels. If you've got sores on your body, you've got symptoms going on, you're not getting enough sulfur or glutathione, you know, to stimulate and to neutralize. And it's good for you to know this knowledge. I've seen the results of taking, like, ImmuniCal when Dr. Howard Young had me over to look at, you know, attend a seminar. He created the Happy Tummy. The thing is, there was an individual that had abscesses and boils over their body. They were 19 years old. They were 11 years old. They had a colostomy, meaning and parts of their intestine removed from their body. And the mother was told that the son had not good prospects, they didn't know what to do, the medical community is. She started to take the glutathione and in 3 days, half of the symptoms were gone, the boils on the body and everything. And then after 1 month, it was gone. 2 months, gone. And it's not the same body anymore. It's healthier, et cetera. So what I'm saying to you, audience, this protein is among the leading in protecting yourself. So take care of yourself and protect yourself. Right, Cho?
You got it. Yes, ma'am.
And there's many out there. And always remember, you like to be as natural as possible so that you can go. And let me tell you, there is a high amount of glutathione and vitamin A in bay leaves. We did this with just taking 8 leaves of bay leaves, boiling in a gallon of water, and it's amazing how your lungs can breathe better after
make
that.
Make a tea with it. Right?
Yeah, like a tea and that. And we'll put that, that's on from the desk of Dr. Hilde, those recipes that way.
Right.
And in summation, do you have any other things that you would like to talk to? You know about Cho? I hear our music.
I would just like to say thank you, Dr. Hilde, for paying attention to all of these things. My goodness gracious.
Well, we try.
Thank you for what you've done in your life.
Here, and your hands type like anything getting these things out. I also would like to make an announcement to the audience that there is the Hildegard Stanninger Foundation, which is a 501(c) that does accept donations so that we can bring forward new educational programs that can go into special seminars and that could be done over the Internet so that you can learn more. Okay?
All right. There's a link to that up on the left-hand side of the WordPress website.
Okay. Thank you very much. God bless to everyone. And just enjoy and take your glutathione, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Bye-bye.
Just did. Bye.